The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. It is opening day. You know, I understand that Devin Booker had 50 last night. I understand that there's Josh Rosen trade rumors all around out there. But I also understand that opening day is the big deal. It is the big story. When you have a pro sports team and it is their first day of a new season, and especially in the game of baseball, people will say that baseball is dying on the vine. No, baseball's not dying on the vine. It's our industry just likes to talk about the NFL draft like it's the only thing that's going on. Well, it doesn't produce as many clicks or as many views. Yeah, because you guys don't work at it. This is a day where the Dodgers and Diamondbacks play. It's the first game of 162. And it's not that I care what other outlets do. I just know what other outlets do. I see what other outlets do on their Twitter and on their social. And a lot of times I just mute them because it's disgusting. We have Pedro Gomez with us today. ESPN Baseball Insider, good friend of the show. Pedro Gomez on the opening of the Diamondbacks. And it's not going to be doom and gloom. We'll get into a deep dive with Pedro on the start of the season, the National League West, and much more. Goody at the Movies is with us today. AZ Central, Gannett, chief film and media critic. Bill Goody-Kuntz, he wrote about the NCAA tournament through the first two rounds. We do not have to hear his nonsense about Walford anymore, unfortunately for him. Fortunately for us, they were eliminated. I saw Bill weighed in kind of where I was last night on Devin Booker. So more on that in a minute. Goody also wrote about Dora the Explorer. Of course he did. Of course he did. I got an invite yesterday to Endgames, the Avengers, the final one. It's coming up next month. And I've got my family that's like angling, wanting to do thumb wars with me. Like it's my turn to go. And I'm sure Bill is in the same space. We'll talk about that a little bit. What's going on in the world of sports? What's on my mind? Brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, guys. And when I say protect what matters most, think about this. You're married, she matters most, or he matters most. You have kids, they matter most. You have family, extended family, they matter most. Maybe it's just you. You matter most, okay? Do you have everything in place when it comes to life insurance? Do you have everything in place? Maybe you're sitting there with a 401k that you've not rolled over from a previous job. There's also, maybe you're into college planning, college gifting, planned giving. There's so many different directions you can go. Annuities with Sagicor, great people. You're watching me right now. Shoot, you can click on your phone and go over to Sagicor Now and get yourself a free quote. Do it at Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most and do it with Sagicor. Pedro Gomez in about 10 minutes. So because the Suns have not been in a playoff game since May 29th, 2010, I guess it turns into what can we do to get people excited about our brand? Well, Devin Booker has been doing that. Devin Booker seems like a very nice guy. We had a dealing with Devin Booker a couple of years ago when we shot a TV pilot and he came down. We're doing it at a downtown bar and he was great. He was terrific. The couple times I've bothered to go into the Suns locker room during this whole nonsense under Robert's era, Devin Booker's been just fine. He's grown. He's grown physically. You see him on the court. He is becoming a dominant force. But he's done it on a team that's awful. He's done it for an organization that's been the worst in the NBA for the last, I don't know, half dozen years. The numbers don't lie. The Suns don't win many games. So when Devin Booker scores 70 at Boston and people get all excited about him scoring 70, I'm not hating on Devin Booker. Did they win the game? Okay. Did they win last night against Washington? Not hearing the answer. Did they win against Utah early this week? Not quite hearing that. So the answer that you are having to give me is no. And then you're going to say no, but no. The only metric that matters in professional sports, understand this. The only metric that that matters in professional sports is wins and losses. I am of the opinion that high school losing should hurt. Losing should hurt. in that you're going to learn from losing. That's the beauty of going through sports. Youth sports, losing should hurt. But you want kids to enjoy the game, learn the game. So when I see a dad or a mom that goes crazy on a third grader saying, you lost, how can you lose? You were terrible and all that. Are you losing your minds? Have them learn the sport. When they get into high school, it's good to see guys cry. My son cried. He's an eighth grader. He cried at a water polo tournament. It was like 2 months ago. He played the championship game against a team from Southern California. They lost on a total throwaway goal in the final, like, 2 seconds. And he sobbed like just a baby afterwards because he was so upset. And it was great. It's great. It hurts to see your kid hurt, but you know that he's growing or she's growing through this. Daughter played college soccer. I don't talk about my kids much. I mention them occasionally. Daughter plays college soccer. She tears her ACL twice in college soccer. And it hurt like crazy to get the phone call from Chicago. It hurt like crazy to get back there to take care of her. She graduates. She gets after it. She's doing really well in the neuroscience world. She wants to help out kids. Occupational therapy. She's terrific. And why is that? Because she's a grinder. Sports helped her grind. That's in the college end. You get into the pros and now you start getting a paycheck. And the deal on getting the paycheck changes everything. Because now, it doesn't matter how many points you score if your dollars are guaranteed. If it does, then you're not about winning. You are about you. You are about you. And for me, I don't need to have anybody who said, yeah, we lost, but I got mine. There was a high school player a few years ago that used that line. And that was the last time that player ever showed up on our site. I'm just not about kids that don't know any better, sitting there and singling them out and talking about how great they are. We're not going to sit here and denigrate them. They're just not going to show up here anymore. I'm not going to waste time. I'm not going to waste your time of building up a kid's brand if they're all about themselves or they're acting immaturely off the field. And that happens occasionally, unfortunately, in doing high school. When you get to college, it's a little different, but you get to the pros and you get a paycheck. The only metric that should matter is winning. If Devin Booker had 20 points and 13 assists and 8 rebounds last night and the Suns won the game, I'm not going to be sitting here today saying, man, Devin Booker only scored 20 some odd points last night. Instead, I have to sit here and say, Devin Booker scored 50 and they lost again. Just so we're really clear about this with Devin Booker, Devin Booker has eclipsed 50 points twice this week, and what are they? 0-2. Devin Booker scored 70 at Boston, and what did they do in that game? They lost. But in our society, it's, oh my gosh, OMG, on fire, Devin Booker. Again, not hating on him. I think Devin Booker, from my understanding, I talked with some people last night after the game, texting them, and they said, yeah, he would much rather win games than go score all these points. Maybe Devin Booker in this last week and a half, 2 weeks of the season should go out with a mentality of, I'm going to get 15 assists tonight. I'm going to go get 15 assists because a guard can do that. A guard can dominate the ball. Devin Booker had some very poor shots and poor selections late in that game last night. I don't like seeing one guy against with four teammates standing around setting picks. I don't like that. That's not great basketball. But some of you, a lot of you think that it's just terrific what the number is. Did they win the game? Eric, did you watch? Were you aware? Am I wrong? Where am I at on this
one? You're absolutely, positively not wrong. I did not watch, but I was following it on Twitter, and I did see the highlights. And yeah, you know how these teams are when we get to, you know, late March.
Yeah.
Not that they're not trying, but they're just kind of sometimes not really trying.
When Devin,
this is to take nothing away from Devin Booker.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've dealt with him a little bit, right?
Yeah.
He's not a bad guy.
Not at all.
I had some people tell me that he's in a tough situation down there.
Obviously.
Well, I think it's deeper than just what we see on the surface, I guess. you know, Dragan Bender commits a late foul in the game and they end up losing on like 3 seconds to go. Just come on. Really?
And the whole thing about when, you know, they're up in Salt Lake and they put Booker back in and then the Jazz fouled so he wouldn't get 60. It's not a great look for the Suns.
It's a bleep show.
It's just not. Yeah, all we care about is wins. We want 7 seconds or less back. We'd even take half of 7 seconds or less. A quarter of seven seconds or less.
Don't you think, though, and I did not see Devin Booker's post game last night, but I didn't, when after Utah and even after Boston, I didn't get a definitive, defiant look in the camera. So I put this on Twitter earlier this week. When Randy Johnson would strike out 15, he'd say strikeouts are overrated. They take up a lot of pitches. It's not that big of a deal. For Devin Booker just to look in the camera and look at everybody and say, hey, all you guys here, we lost the game. I'm not going to talk about what I did because it's about a team. Thank you very much. And that's it. Drop the mic, walk away. I would like to see him do that because what we're seeing here, Eric, is it's dangerous. Well, James Harden scored all these points. James Harden gets all these shots. Yeah. And has Houston done anything other than win a bunch of games and get eliminated in the playoffs? Has it developed a bad pattern with him?
Sure.
Is Devin Booker now very early in his career? I think, was he 21? 21, 22?
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, he's developing a very bad deal in my mind, very bad precedent of when he is 24, 25, 26. Well, in Phoenix, they just don't appreciate my talents. I'm going to take my talents elsewhere. I'm going to get a whole lot of money. It may be thrilling for you wearing your D-Book jersey, or for those of you on the payroll with the Suns, having D-Book as something, anything positive, because you haven't had a playoff game since May 29th, 2010. Pedro Gomez is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So on this opening day, even though here in Phoenix, all the conversation is about Josh Rosen and Devin Booker, and I'm over here waving my arms frantically saying, it's opening day! Come on! You can put all that other stuff to the side. The Diamondbacks open against the Dodgers today. Pedro is with us, though, ESPN Baseball insider analyst, good friend of the show. He is at Petco Park, where it is the Padres and Giants. It is Manny Machado. It is the end of Bruce Bochy's career as manager. At the end of this season, Madison Bumgarner is pitching. He's going to get traded. So there's all sorts of stuff there for Pedro. How are you?
I am well, Brad. It's always great. It is opening day. I'm with you.
Yes.
I know that there's news, but my Lord, it's opening day.
Yeah. Well, and it's not even really news over here. It's Devin Booker scoring 50 and they lose every time he scores a bunch of points. And Josh Rosen traded. Josh Rosen, we'll get to it. All right. So the focus is on the Diamondbacks at the Dodgers today. I guess we just start with the basic. Are they going to be a team to contend with? And my answer would be no. I'm sure yours is the same, unless you want to drop a bombshell here on opening day.
I can't.
Yeah.
No, my answer would be equal to yours. It's going to be very difficult. Look, you lose Pollock, you lose Goldschmidt, you lose Corbin, now you lose Souza, you don't have Taiwan Walker. I mean, there's a lot of negative check marks, and it's really hard to play this game over 162 games, and you know, it's probably going to be a very difficult year in downtown.
Okay, so the obvious question then to follow up is ownership committed and management committed to going through a rebuild, bad season, or are there going to be people's heads that roll, or is this simply, Brad, when they trade Zach Greinke, that's really their reset button? Walk me through the patience of ownership, especially with Torrey and Mike Hazen.
I think with Mike Hazen, you can't. There's been so much turnover in the general manager's chair with this franchise that I don't think you want to continue down that road. Look, if you do, then there might be bigger issues here with the franchise than you and I have been discussing over the last couple of years. So I think Hazen probably is safe, should be safe, whatever you want to use there. Like I said, though, if somehow there is a change there, that's going to really signal maybe some more deeper issues. that exist.
Financial issues, you mean, with the organization?
Or philosophical issues.
Power play issues? Oh, okay.
I would say philosophical issues more than anything, because Are you going to continue to have a revolving chair at the GM spot? I mean, you know, think about just the last decade or so. It's been, you know, Dave Stewart, Kevin Towers, Mike Hazen. It's been too many. You need some stability in that position. So I would doubt that that's a move. But, you know, it's going to be difficult. And, yeah, their biggest asset, trade chip, so to speak, is Zach Greinke. But I don't know that he's going to get you, you know, a full reset, so to speak, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you get the right club that is in dire need because of an injury that may happen at some point, then you know, you are dealing with a position of power. But at this point, I don't know that that's going to be the case. I don't know that Zach Greinke is going to bring back a franchise-altering haul, so to speak. So it's going to be a longer haul, I think, for the D-backs to reset and be able to compete again.
What are you interested in seeing over with this team? Because they're not going to be on the radar much this year, at least early. They'd be a story if they were in contention. Of course, they always believe we could do it if this right goes right, this goes right, this goes right. What are you interested in watching over here?
I'd say the development of some pitching. I think that's going to be the key issue, because you cannot win in this game without pitching. Look, I'm in San Diego. There is so much excitement right now because of the Manny Machado deal. But the reality is, if they don't pitch, things are not going to be that much different here in San Diego, other than them raising the temperature on their interest because of Manny Machado.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they've got a lot of young pitchers in this rotation, and it is really difficult to develop at the major league level. The one plus the D-backs have over an organization like the Padres is that they do have a veteran at the top, and you always need somebody for the younger kids to lean on, so to speak. I remember when the Cubs went out in 2015 and said, "We're signing John Lester." People around baseball were like, "Why would you do that? You're not ready to win yet." Well, what it did is it provided the younger pitchers in that rotation a veteran to lean on, and sure enough, they made it to the NLCS that year. And that's an issue for a lot of clubs. You need some veteran leadership. You cannot just rely on young arms. It's just not a formula that has ever worked in the history of the game for a reason. So, I think watching to see if pitchers develop. Look, Robbie Ray he's had a really good camp. He's had a solid spring. You know, he's coming off an injury-plagued season, but 2 years ago, the Robbie Ray that showed up was very, very good. And if he can return to that form, that's a big plus. But, you know, there's younger pitchers in that rotation that still don't know whether they can do it at this level or not. And unless you do, you don't know.
Yeah, no, that's true. Pedro Gomez is with us from San Diego, where he is there covering the Padres and Giants on this opening day. I guess on my end, it's the Goldschmidt deal was such a big deal that if Carson Kelly and Luke Weaver don't do anything over here, and the Diamondbacks have felt to me like a revolving door behind home plate for so long, and a guy that can't get past Yadier Molina, even though I've gotten two sides on that one. He wasn't good enough, or Yadier was that good. Regardless, Carson Kelly to me is probably the most intriguing storyline, along with Weaver, because of the return for Goldschmidt.
Yeah, and you're right about that. I mean, they've got to have somebody solidify that position behind the plate. You look at clubs that tend to win, and they do have a strong catcher, but it's not a necessity. I mean, you look at the Red Sox last year, and, you know, Christian Guzman, Sandy Leon, it's not like you're talking about frontline all-star caliber catchers. You can get by in this day and age without a frontline, but it certainly helps if you have a solid catcher behind the plate. In order to try to help win. Look, the Giants won 3 World Series, and the big common denominator was Buster Posey behind the plate, who acts also as a pitching coach as well as a veteran stabilizing figure behind the plate. I believe the bells mean that
the ballpark's open.
Those bells you heard means the ballpark is open, correct.
I thought I was just hearing ringing in my ears. Pedro Gomez with us from San Diego. The Dodgers will not win the National League West if this player or players do not come through.
I would say if Walker Buehler does not come through and continue the path that he started last season, that's going to be difficult because with Clayton Kershaw, he's no longer the Superman he once was.
Right.
Hyun-Jin Ryu has had injuries the last couple of years. He's certainly good, but he's not an ace, so to speak, to carry the load. So I think Walker Buehler has the most to do with the Dodgers' success this year.
Okay, Colorado wins if this player does what he does. And I think Arenado's the easy answer, but they've got to have somebody else.
No, I would say David Dahl. I think if David Dahl has a breakout-type season, because I think you're right, Arenado's going to do what he always does.
Yep.
You know, 35 to 40 home runs, 130 RBIs. I think Trevor Story has reached a similar level of being that type of player. Ian Desmond has to have a bounce back year, but I think David Dahl is maybe the linchpin. And, you know, he's a young kid who I think he's 25 and he is ready to move in that direction. The pitching, I know that you always ask about pitching with the Rockies, but I think they've kind of established themselves. Hmm. I think Freeland, Marquez, Chad Bettis, I think these guys are good. And I like the Rockies this year, by the way.
All right, fearless prediction on San Diego. Give me one.
75-87.
Wow.
Oh, they're going to struggle. They're going to struggle on the mound. They're going to struggle on the mound.
Wow. Okay.
They're going to struggle on the mound.
The Diamondbacks better than 75 wins?
I don't believe so.
Wow. Jeez. Oh, man. You're just
gloomy. And the Giants
You're gloomy.
The Giants will be at the bottom of the division.
Does Bumgarner get traded by the deadline or earlier?
I would say earlier. I think that the Giants will probably be out of it, and clubs will be looking to maximize the number of starts mm-hmm. they can get from Bumgarner. And so it wouldn't surprise me if he is either late June, early July, as opposed to July 31st.
Based on what you know of the two organizations, who gets traded earlier, Greinke or Bumgarner?
Bumgarner.
Really?
I think that the D-backs fear the throwing up of the white flag more so than the Giants would do at this point.
Is that right? Dang. I mean,
well, don't forget Farhan Zaidi is a first-year general manager.
Yeah.
He still has time in order to say, okay, I know this hurts, but give us a chance. And he's got that because he's in year one of a 5-year deal. Mike Hazen doesn't have – he's not afforded the exact same luxury at this point. That's why I think Bumgarner goes first.
Diamondbacks have 7 of their first 10 against the Dodgers and Red Sox. 2-8? If they come out of that 500?
I would say more like 4-6. I think that early on there's still going to be that energy coming out of spring training hey, we're still here. Look, if it is 2-8, then I would say the wheels probably are going to fall off.
Yeah, no. I mean, their schedule's really hard. All right, before I get you out of here, last one. Player or players that you really are looking forward to seeing across the game this season? The easy ones are the Harpers and the Trouts, but give me some names that we should be looking at saying, Brad, this guy is going to be front page.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, when Trout came up, remember when he was a first call-up, he got sent down, I think, 2 or 3 weeks later because he was struggling. So just because you get called up and you're, you know, got a chance doesn't mean you're ready right at that moment. Trout had to go down, and then he came back, and he's obviously been the Mike Trout ever since then. But I would say Fernando Tatis, and mm-hmm. it's not because I'm in San Diego. I saw him during the spring. Fernando Tatis Jr. looks like a legit guy who is ready to do things. And I know that he has never played a major league game until today. He is in the lineup, by the way.
Wow.
For his first game at age 20. He just turned 20 in January, so he's a young 20. But one of the things that I really think bodes well for him, he played winter ball in the Dominican Republic. And anybody who knows anything about winter ball in the DR knows that is pressure. That is really difficult to do. And he was incredibly successful there.
Hmm.
So when it comes to pressure, I think he should be okay. Like I said, when you can perform at a high level in the Dominican Winter League, that bodes very well for who you are.
All right, what's your role going to be this year? What nights are you on? What are you doing?
No fixed nights. I'll just be jumping all around.
Look at
and,
you. Look at
features,
you.
News.
Look
you
at
name
you.
It.
Look at you. You have a platinum card and just.
I'll be at Sky Harbor quite a bit.
I like that. Stay well. Safe travels. Appreciate the time. Enjoy opening day. Thanks.
Okay, Brad. Take care.
It's Pedro Gomez right there on the field in San Diego. That was really good, I have to say. Eric, was that Pedro at his best?
Less than 75 wins, huh? Yeah.
Well,
I'm not really surprised, but it's okay.
I mean, how are you feeling about this season?
I'm feeling that I'm excited that the Coyotes have a huge game tomorrow. Huge game against the Avs. That's what I'm excited about.
I just, man.
I love opening day. I do. But I'm
going to watch this afternoon.
Yeah, of course.
The game's on Fox Sports Arizona. I'm going to make time to watch.
But usually this time of year, it's the Suns are out of it, the Coyotes are out of it, the Diamondbacks, depending on expectations, there's excitement. There might not be that much excitement, but yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, Pedro was just gloomy. I don't know. He's.
But they won't finish behind the Giants, it sounds like, in the NL West. So.
We got that going for us.
Who knows, though? Baseball's weird.
No,
you just never know.
That's true. All right, we're going to talk about cell phone breaks and other stuff on the others. We're going to take a cell phone break right now, actually, and we'll get back into things going on and then Goody at the Movies. I'm Brad Sussmat. I love Wednesdays here at the company. Wednesday, yesterday, Devin Henry, who's chairman of the board today, he sat in this chair and he killed it. He was all over the place. I was on Wednesdays. I like to go out to things going on around town. I was at Pro Day yesterday morning for Arizona State. Pro Day is interesting. It's like the NFL owners' meetings, except now it's all the management guys, and they're crowding around at Arizona State. I've been to this before, but there was a high pick this year, and actually two picks that were of interest. One was, of course, N'Keal Harry, and the other was Ronnell Wren. You walk into Pro Day, and there's other players, like Casey Tucker on the bench was the first guy that caught my eye. And all the scouts are crowded around him, and they all have their respective logos from teams. So there's the Giants and the Ravens and the Colts and the Chargers, and they're all gathered around to watch this young man bench press. And then you see people from afar, and I saw John Lynch, the general manager of the 49ers. I covered Johnny when he was in high school at Torrey Pines in San Diego, and I don't have any problem professionally going over and giving a guy a hug. I don't. If the team stinks, you say the team stinks and you move on. It's kind of how it should work in this business. So we had a good chat for a few minutes. And N'Keal did not do any of the stuff in the weight room. He doesn't need to. He actually was a good soldier yesterday and ran routes for Manny Wilkins. Because N'Keal's going to be second, first. He's going to be somewhere in that low first, high second round. Maybe he moves up further. I don't know. I know that there were 28 scouts there. And when the event ended over at the weight room, they all gathered around and got the times and the weights and all. It's a very, very well done and put together. I saw Herm Edwards and Al Luganville and Donnie Yantis and a lot of the ASU staff there. So it was terrific on that front. While the morning was going on, though, when you're around all these NFL people, they all have their own thoughts, ideas, and you're making conversation. And a couple of them that I talked to said, what do you think is going to happen with Josh Rosen? I don't know what's going to happen with Josh Rosen. My gut tells me that he's going to be traded. I don't spend a whole lot of time visiting with people at the Cardinals about much of anything these days. So I tend to trust what's going on in the agent community. There is a report that the Patriots, the Giants, and the Chargers are interested in Josh Rosen. I'm sure there's more teams than that that are out there. If it's up to me on this, this is really a spot in the organization's trajectory that could take them one of two ways. They go get Kyler Murray, and he kills it. They go get Kyler Murray, and he gets crushed. And Josh Rosen goes elsewhere, and he crushes it. If Bill Belichick decides, I'm going to put a second-round pick out there for Josh Rosen, and the Cardinals take Kyler Murray. And last time I checked, Bill Belichick's had a little bit more success in what's gone on out here in Arizona. I'm a bit cynical on this because you can't help but wonder if they're going to screw it up. You just can't help but wonder that. This is not that easy. You can say, trade Josh Rosen. Why would the Chargers have an interest in Josh Rosen? Because Phillip Rivers is getting long in the tooth, and Phillip Rivers keeps popping out kids. They had their ninth kid last week. They're about ready to have a full offense or defensive side of the football the way it's going. Nine kids and playing football. I think he'd rather get out on the field and get hit by 300-pound guys than change that many diapers. That's just me. The Giants, yeah, the Giants are the Giants. They always say the right thing about Eli Manning. The fact if the Cardinals were to get a second-round pick, it means that the value of Josh Rosen dropped. And if you take that first pick and you put it into Kyler Murray, and Kyler Murray wakes up one day and says, you know, that whole baseball thing doesn't sound half bad right about now because I'm getting my ass kicked in Arizona because I don't have enough offensive linemen or enough talent. When people say, well, he said he's committed to football, guys say things all the time. Leverage is out there. There will be baseball teams that will say, we want Kyler Murray back. Tim Tebow's with the Broncos. He's never going to play again. I don't know. Is he still trying to play? The money part of it, Kyler Murray is going to get whatever he wants from either side. To me, it feels like the Cardinals are they're very much in the driver's seat on one hand, but on the other hand, they're not, because teams know that the Cardinals are up against it in taking Kyler Murray and having Josh Rosen. So why would those teams call and say, we're going to offer you a first-round pick? No way. Why would those teams call and even say, we'll offer you a second-round pick? If you're quarterback-starved, quarterback-desperate, you put something out there and say, would you be interested in doing this? Until Steve Keim said, and then it tips their hand entirely. The minute Josh is traded, okay, it's Kyler Murray. Okay, let's all move on and get along with our lives. The minute they do that, they've tied the entire organization. It's much like the Matt Leinart scenario. And the Cardinals don't like hearing about the Matt Leinart stuff, but they screwed it up on that deal. Quarterbacks get screwed up, and when they get screwed up, I don't know, look at Cleveland. Until they find the right guy, and you don't know, and I don't know. How many times did the Browns say, we got the right guy, and it didn't happen? If I'm sitting here today on this deal, it's just me, I'd trade back. Then you run the risk of Kyler Murray killing it. You got to be committed and believe in it. And the Cardinals have never been in this space. You can't tell me you have the experience, Michael. It doesn't work that way. Steve, it doesn't work that way. All you have is Cliff Kingsbury saying last October on a game week, yeah, if I had the number one overall pick in the draft, I'd use it on Kyler Murray. That's it. So we sit here and fill up reams and reams of paper on this stuff and talk about it for hours. I've tried to stay away from it, but it's a crossroads for the organization. There's no question about it. Because they're going to, no matter what they do, we couldn't believe he's there. Really? It's a number one overall pick. This is a once-in-a-lifetime player. Really? If you take Nick Bosa after all this stuff, you're going to have a letdown factor. And if Murray goes out there and kills it, you're going to have to be able to stand up in front of everybody. I would actually support them. Not that it matters to them. They don't give a rat's what I think, but if he is the guy, if Bosa is the guy, I would support them on that. If they trade down, I'd really support them on that. I don't have to have Kyler Murray. I really don't. And we're a month away, thank goodness, but this is the latest one that's out there. Three teams, according to Joel Klatt from Fox. Goody at the Movies is next. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it is time for Goody at the Movies. AZ Central, Gannett, chief film and media critic. We are not talking about Wofford this week because they were eliminated from March Madness. And for that, he's very sad. Yeah, I know. I can tell. But you did write.
But it's Fletcher McGee with the snipes to the three-pointers.
Oh, boy. Here we go. We're going to have Fletcher McGee talk for years to come. You wrote about Dora the You wrote about.
I've got to tell you though.
Okay.
You doubted me last week. The Wall Street Journal read a story about how Wofford offered Zion his first scholarship.
Now you had that story. You were right on that. All right. So, what gives you more page views, Meghan McCain, Sean Hannity, or Dora the Explorer?
Meghan McCain probably. It depends. Sometimes it goes around. I mean, it just kind of depends on what happened. Trump and Hannity, I mean, I think after the Mueller report, media has kind of calmed down on that stuff. I don't know that they should, but they have. Meghan McCain is always good for a lot of page views. I was very pleasantly surprised at how many page views Dora the Explorer and my unkind takedown of her. I was surprised.
How can you take down Dora the Explorer, Bill? I mean, come on. That's isn't that like you can't kill kids' characters like that.
It's payback for having to listen to it for so many years. I should say, there are some kid shows I like, and I think I said that in that story. The Aardvark, who's on PBS. I love Arthur. I watch Arthur sometimes just... When I was a TV critic, I used to write that Arthur was better than a lot of the sitcoms that were on TV.
No, that's true. That's true. Goody at the Movies is with us. So March Madness so far, what do you like in their broadcast? I was hoping that Duke would lose. That way I wouldn't have to hear the word Zion. I like Zion. I just get tired of their halftime shows being about all this one player and knowing full well that if he's out, the network's going to crash and burn on these games to me.
Well, I mean, if you're going to go to the trouble to invest, putting one camera on him at all times, you're probably going to want to talk about him. You're going to want some return on your investment. I mean, but he's great. I mean, he's fun. But I liked seeing Donnie Dawkins again. I thought he was such a great player. But then it made me sad that he had a gray beard.
Yeah, because it makes us feel like we're just old farts. That's true. That's
I know. If he looks like that, oh my God, what must I look like? I always thought, and you did, I mean, you know, you've forgotten more basketball than I'll ever know, but I always thought that Dawkins, when he played for Duke, was almost too quick. He, like, couldn't catch up with himself sometimes. And then, of course, unfortunately, when he went to the 76ers, he blew out his knee, and he was quick. I mean, but there was something in between. Like, he was almost like when Iverson was at Georgetown for a little bit there. Those two were the quickest college players I think I've ever seen. And they just, you could not guard them.
They
scored all the time.
Right. But, and today's the anniversary of Christian Laettner hitting the shot, which people would say is the biggest shot in the history of basketball. I would maintain that it's Robert Horry or John Paxson putting a dagger in the Suns, but that's just because I live here, so that's just me.
Yeah, I would have to say has some local resonance. You'd be hard pressed to come on to who's like, oh yeah, that was bad. I think the Laettner shot was just unbelievable, and it's one of those things that's only grown in stature, and but it's one of those things also that kind of lives up to the hype. I mean, you know, Laettner didn't miss that day.
No, he didn't. he didn't.
Laettner also stepped on the guy's chest that day. I mean, it was just such a game. I mean, the Athletic did a thing where they asked people what the best game they ever 40, I think, is really great. He wrote about that. He was just like a regular old, beat writer for the Louisville Courier Journal. And all of a sudden, he's sitting there on press row like, well, what do I say now?
I'm going to let you go off of that. I think it's a good way to end the segment today. Good stuff, Bill. As always, safe driving. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks. There's Bill Goodigan's Goody at the Movies. All right. So we have opening day. We have the Coyotes tomorrow night. We're going to have about a month's more of this stuff. 4 weeks from today is when the draft goes down. So this Rosen Murray stuff, which is fine. It's fun to talk about. But you have to get serious too. If you're invested in this as a fan, I sit over here and look at it and say, they can't screw this thing up. We've got some really good guests lined up next week that we're looking to talk to about this. Peter King is going to be with us next week on the show, and we'll put him in the TV program too. I think it's time to have Peter on. We have Peter on a ton. It's probably time to get Fabs back on, Eric. It's time to get Michael Fabiano back with us because now that free agency is over, we'll do some of that. But I think all eyes are going to be on the Coyotes to see if they can get things done. And again, the Sweet 16. Devin Henry is our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen, as always, produces. I am Brad Sussmat. Have yourself a great day.